you're in search of a great new bottle of wine, or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
And as usual, Mike's on Facebook.
I'm going to get my phone ready.
What you playing today, Angry Birds?
No, I don't.
Hungover Birds?
I don't play games. I do not play games. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. I'm Mike.
I'm Stu.
Woohoo.
And that's Leanna on the
and
board.
Leanne's over here.
This is David Hubble back in the corner. Y'all get to meet him
a
little bit.
Yeah, we got a guest in the studio today.
We're going to talk everything Merloton today.
What's a Merloton?
It's a chayote squash.
What's a chayote squash?
It's a Merloton.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Already. That's why we got David here. I think what we're going to talk about with David today is very interesting. It may be because I'm a food geek and the rest of you are going to be bored. But I think it's very interesting and important.
I've heard this conversation twice with Bill Finch and David.
Right.
And, you know, I still, until today, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it tastes like. Well, nothing.
I will tell you, every now and then when I was a chef at Mars Hill, we put cucumbers in our garden salad. I would not be able to get any cucumbers. You know, ours, you know, weren't any good or I ran out. We'd go to the Salesian market that shared the shopping center with us, and I'd get their cucumbers. But sometimes they wouldn't have cucumbers, but they always had chayote squash. Okay. And I would just cut that up and put it in our garden salads, and people would be like, that is the best cucumber I have ever had.
Does it look like a cucumber?
No. It was just the green vegetable in there that wasn't a tomato or an onion or a piece of cheese. So they assumed it was cucumber.
Yeah, that, I can see that.
But everyone loved it, thought it was delicious. It's very versatile. It can be raw or cooked. I've only done them raw or maybe in a stir fry. So David's going to have some other ideas, but I know traditionally in Louisiana it'll be stuffed with all number of things and roasted. And
well, they eat anything in Louisiana.
And we don't here in Alabama. We taught them their culture.
Oh, that's true.
Yep.
It started here first.
Yeah. You know what the capital of the Louisiana territory was?
Yes.
Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah. We invented American Mardi Gras. And so.
Yes.
Yeah.
But David, we're not going to talk about
that. David will probably come back with facts on that when he comes on here.
Wait till he finds out that gumbo was created on Dolphin Island.
No, it wasn't. It was created in Africa. It was first served in Dolphin Island, Alabama,
there you
in the
go.
New World.
Somebody
thank you, Gene Fox.
Somebody.
Yeah, Gene Fox did the research.
I was at a fine establishment one night a long time ago. And I happened to meet this guy from Louisiana.
Was it Jules up there and Sims out my way?
No, this is over on the East Shore.
Oh.
And I met this guy and his wife from Louisiana. And we got in the discussion about gumbo. And then I brought up Dolphin Island. And I couldn't tell y'all the expletives that he said. But y'all stole our Mardi Gras. Now you're going to take our damn gumbo.
No.
Well, I tried to explain that to it.
Yeah.
We were here. Yeah.
We had been a city west a long time before someone found that little bend in the Mississippi River and said, let's drain this and put some houses on it.
There you go. Yeah. It was during Katrina. It was the only dry area. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Knew what they were doing. So,
did you have a good 4th of July?
You know, I did. I had friends that lived on the bay, which I understand you were invited.
Yeah, I was hosting my own.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I told them, I said, I don't think they're coming. I saw on Facebook they had a grill set up.
Yeah, I got vetoed. Well, actually, Heather just said a couple weeks ago, if you're off the 4th of July, I want to have a barbecue.
Okay.
And have my family over and your friends.
Oh, yes, that's ma'am. Important right there.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. And that's what we did. And we'll talk about it later because I did some very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And, but we had a great time. Her parents came over. My buddy Kevin and his wife came over. And a couple of other friends stopped by from time to time. And food just kept rolling off the grills. And
that's
waves.
What I like.
And I went charcoal and gas.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, we got something to look forward to when we do that dinner on Mobile Bay.
Yeah, I want to get out there.
They got a great outdoor kitchen.
Looking forward to it.
By the pool.
So you say there's a view.
On the bay. And that was a great view. You know, I'm driving around looking for their place and off DIP, and I'm going, darn, I've never gone down any of these roads. And I look, and you say, wow, there's some nice places down here. It's little hidden gems down there.
Yep.
I will say her father used to own Nancy's restaurant.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of been in that business herself for a while. I mean, but so I had to take a little stroll down that way.
Down memory lane, so to speak.
Yeah, or whatever that lane was. But I took the Bayfront Road, and there used to be some gorgeous homes along there. I guess they all got whacked during storms.
Some did, yeah. Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law's mother used to live on Bayfront Road, and when they got married, it was at their house. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid being really upset that I have to do what on Halloween night? Go to a wedding? Are you serious? Mm-hmm. And then my mother, always a brilliant woman, goes, you get to go trick-or-treating too, but you get to go in their neighborhood where everyone's rich.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And again, being a geek, I was dressed as the Shadow. Nobody in my generation knew who the Shadow was. My dad had the LPs. That's how I knew about the show.
Oh, okay.
And, I'm going to be the Shadow. And everybody's, what are you? I'm the Shadow.
The LP version.
Why would a Shadow wear a hat? Well, the voice of the Shadow was Orson Welles. What do you mean healthy? That was a chubster of the highest order. but it was beautiful there. I've got another friend that lives further down the bay near Bellefontaine, and we went out to their home a couple of years ago for 4th of July, and where they are on the bay, and I'm sure it would have been the same thing had everybody not canceled the fireworks. We could see Fairhope, Daphne, Mobile, all of them at the same time. And that was very neat. Could you pick up stuff further south end of the county, too? I don't know if it was Balabatry or Dolphin Island or whoever. But that was very cool a couple of years ago. Rather enjoy going to the bay for 4th of July.
It's a fun place.
Yeah,
they have a lovely home.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure their last home was lovely.
Very lovely. and this is as lovely.
Nice.
They love to work on it. They'd love to continue changing it. You know.
Yeah. So kind of getting into that myself.
We don't have it where we want it yet. So. What else can you do? It's beautiful now. You know? But I guess he'll think of something.
Yeah, you can always do things. I mean, I had this, you know, beautiful 2 acres of land, but then I took Heather over to my brother's house, and she saw the fairy garden that my brother built for my sister-in-law, and just, I kind of like that. So I carved out what I call Heather's nook of the yard, and she's got a fairy garden, and she's got it decorated with the reflecting balls and all these things that glow in the dark at night, and it's just a peaceful little place. We'll get up in the morning, walk down there, she'll drink her coffee, and we'll just welcome the morning down there with the birds and the squirrels and whatnot. Isn't that peaceful, Michael?
Very peaceful.
As opposed to DeTonti Square, where you walk out and everything's historic and you're in this beautiful urban setting.
Hey, we got brand new copper gas lantern street lights.
Nice. Yeah. And I saw a good friend of ours, Chef Weston Simpson's been hanging out in your neighborhood from time to time.
You know what? I think he's right there behind my place. Because the house I could see in the background in the picture is one of my neighbors.
So. We got a text message from Daniel Pierce that says, I miss Nancy's.
Wasn't that a great restaurant?
Yeah.
I love watching just the boat sail by.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Very interesting indeed, but we got to go to break now, Michael.
Again?
Yeah. Folks, if you want to get in on the conversation, it's 343-0106. You can call. You can textify.
Yes. Please do that.
Please. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit with David Hubble and then we'll push him back over in the corner, and then we're going to give him the big segment at the bottom of the hour.
There you go.
And get really into this whole Merloton situation.
That's how you know you're important when you're at the bottom of the hour.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu, that's us.
That's you and me.
Yeah, well, me. Before we introduce David Hubble to everyone, mm-hmm. we've got some calls lined up, so let's start with David. He wants to talk about shops opening. And David, what
Good
do
morning.
You have in mind as shops
opening?
Good
morning,
What's
buddy.
Your question?
Yeah, the River Shack, I heard, is going to be opening this week. And the chef is supposedly cooked at Finn's in New Orleans, and he's from Mobile. He is a Lartigue.
Oh, you know that's gonna
is.
Be good.
Yeah, I mean, and I've seen a lot of pictures of the food. It's unbelievable.
Hmm,
what
yeah.
he can do.
But, well, if they want us to come out and just sample the food for them and then talk about it on the show, all they got to do is drop us an email at sipandchew@mail.com. And we'll be more than happy, won't we, Mike?
Actually, I can do that.
Okay.
I mean, I can have them do that.
Well, drop the that's the email, sipandchew@mail.com. There ain't no G up in there.
I drove by there yesterday, and I saw the sign. I said, I wonder when they're open
a
yet.
That's a cool place.
That's a great location.
It's a great place.
I love the location.
I remember when Bob Omansky owned it, who is the CEO of Wenzel's now, years ago.
He didn't have that. He had the one on the outside.
He had the one on the outside.
Okay. Yacht, I mean,
yeah.
to the yacht club, Mobile Yacht Club.
Yeah, yeah.
His was on the outside. On the inside, Caboose was always on that.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, Scott, started the River Shack years ago, passed away of cancer, and Bo had it for the last 10, 12 years, and now this guy's got it. So.
Yeah, I sat out there in the hot, hot Saturday afternoon drinking a Bushwhacker, I think,
or Twitter.
Yeah. He's going to try to have the same Bushwhacker, but he's going to have an interesting menu. He's got a California a California flair to it, and
nice.
It's going to be simple, self-serve. You walk up and order, and they call you out and everything. So,
nice and relaxed.
I like getting called out.
Yeah, Mike likes to be called out. Well, David, thanks for sharing us. And like I said, drop us the email. We would honestly would love to come and check it out and sing the praises.
Downtown.
All right, thanks a lot, David. And provolone, buddy. Speaking of provolone. Line two is Frank, who wants to know about our sign-off phrase explanations. Good. Mike, I'm turning this over to you.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
You have a question?
Yeah, I always thought provolone was a cheese, and you're using it as a sign-off.
Long.
Could you explain that to me?
A long, long time ago. There was a commercial on TV, I'm talking about over 20 years ago, and I don't know if it was Rosetta Stone or what, you know, but this guy acted like he knew Italian, and he was saying things to people in Italian, and what caught my mind at the end of the commercial, it's like his friends are leaving his house and getting in their car, and he's standing at the door, and he hollers out, waving his hand, and he hollers out, provolone! You know, because it does sound like
goodbye.
Yeah, you know, like so long. So I started just saying that to my friends at places, restaurants, bars. I'm in sales and I sell to restaurants and bars.
And you're into bars.
And when I go to leave, I always tell everybody provolone. So every time I'd go to leave without even saying it, people would say provolone, Mike Bailey, provolone. So
it's his norm.
I've got you. What's the other phrase? Babaloo or something?
Oh, Baba Ganoush, which is
Baba Ganoush, yeah. What does that mean?
One of our callers, John from Fish River, and I went to lunch at Seven Spice, which is a wonderful Mediterranean restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he had recently discovered Baba Ganoush, which is a smoked pureed eggplant dip.
Hmm.
It basically, it's hummus, take the chickpeas out and add in the eggplant. And it's delicious, and he just loved the name Baba Ganoush. So every time we say provolone, he says Baba Ganoush.
All right, I've got you.
It's just a whole nest of silliness.
We're bit.
Well, everybody needs a laugh now and then, so that ought to feel a bit.
We get giddy up in here every now and then.
Every now and then.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Frank.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you.
And provolone and baba ganoush to you.
Yes.
And yours.
And more of it.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I'm fixing to kick you out for a second. We're going to have David Hubble roll over here.
Come on, roll on over here, David.
Get up in there. Mike, just can you squeeze up in there a little bit? I mean, a little. Can you suck it in, Mike. Suck it in.
Can you squeeze over that way a little bit?
Oh, yeah, I can. Just and David, just right into the microphone.
Okay.
And just talk like normal. David Hubble is here, and who are you?
Who am I? Well, I grew up in Texas, but my folks are from Louisiana, and I've had an interest in learning and growing and cooking Louisiana foods as part of my heritage.
Yeah, and I believe you've been to Fulce's Boucherie, haven't you?
Yes, I've actually been to all five of his boucheries at White Oak Estates.
Yeah, I want to go to the next one.
What is
it? A boucherie? David can probably give you the textbook definition. They butcher a hog, or in this case, I guess several hogs.
Usually do about two.
Two.
Yeah.
And then
300 or 400 pounds.
And then you render everything. I mean, it's what you know your granddad did and my dad did when he was a kid. I mean,
the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but they have at this one they have different stations where people demonstrate the different processes that you do. And I know Chris Sherrill and Brody Olive were there a couple of years ago, and I forget what they were demonstrating, but it was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, they did a rooster stew. No, was it coon and rooster stew? And I did it the year before they did it. And,
yeah.
It is really good stew. You wouldn't, I mean, but everything is prepped for you. Chef Fulce has everything ready.
Oh, okay.
So
good, because
you didn't have to go out and clean.
Cleaning a raccoon once is all you need to know to shoot something else.
Right.
Because it's a pain. It's just a pain.
It's very good.
Yeah. I've had coon, and it is one of those I'm like, glad I had it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care to have it again. It wasn't bad. Wasn't great. But it was meat. And if you're starving, if you're hungry, yeah. I mean, so you got to cut those 17 little nodes or whatever it is out of,
such.
Yeah, you know, to make it edible. But it's better than starvation, but it's not better than beef. So,
well, I've had it before from somebody who prepared it, and when it's smoked, it's really good.
Okay.
But I think everybody who tried it was really surprised how great this stew turned out.
Yeah, and it's a very mild flavor too, especially for something that's wild, which tends to have more gaminess. But you have with you the object of our affections today.
Right.
You do a page, Merleton Man.
Right, of Mobile.
Yeah.
The original Merleton Man is Lance Hill out of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And he started this nonprofit organization about 10 plus years ago, primarily after Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Merleton, or chayote squash, is what a lot of people are used to.
Mm-hmm.
They're very prolific around the New Orleans area. And so there's generations of families that grew them, and they just grew easy. You threw it in the backyard, and they'd grow up along the fence line or the old clotheslines.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to be 100 foot long. They produce up to 100 Merleton in the fall. And so they're very affectionately remembered around Christmas and Thanksgivings.
Okay.
Because you can stuff them, like you talked about.
Right.
You can eat them raw. You can stuff them, casseroles, bake breads with them, pickle them. And they're all over the world, believe it or not.
Yeah, because they're very prevalent in Asian cooking.
Right.
My guess would be, Bill would know the origin, but my guess is they probably came here on a ship from Asia.
Well,
or it will happen the other way.
Right. Glance Hill will tell you is that they're more Mesoamerican.
Okay.
They came up, and the name Merleton, there's only one other place. It's, every place else is called chayote or cocoa or vegetable pear, but Haiti is where it's also called Merleton. And so I think it was late 17...
That's understandable with the Creole language, yeah.
So 1785 to 1815 was a big Haitian influx into New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And so that name seems to be what stuck with these...
Louisianians.
Right. And this vegetable, there's tons of varieties.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one picture that Lance has. It's got like 98 different Merleton. White, dark green, spiky. These have a few spikes on this one. Round, smooth. So they're different, and not all types grow here. And if y'all have listened to Bill's show, he and I have talked about that before. So you got to get a heirloom variety.
All right. Well, we're going to visit with you more in the next segment, and hopefully we're going to do some grubbing, too. I'm going to get Mike back over here so that we can wrap things up for this segment. And, Dave, I'm really excited about this. Mike knows I am a huge fan of Chef Sean Brock out of South Carolina because he grew up with his grandmother, and she did things, you know, the Depression era way, and that was how he learned to do it. And he's become huge in what's called seed reclamation and bringing back seeds of heirloom varietals and using those and getting rid of the hybrids that have come out of laboratories.
Right.
And I find everything that he does fascinating. And he's also, David, he has a laboratory where they invent new vinegars. Yeah, and which also is something that
I thought Mr. Eddins had done it. It all up there. But
Sean's doing the weirdest vinegars, coffee vinegar, stuff like that. Just anything he can get to turn into vinegar. But what's going on with this music, Mike? We got a break?
Yeah.
What do they need to do? What do they need to do?
They need to call us at 343-0106 or text us at that same number.
You are brilliant. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
It's out of high school education.
Get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu. Makes me forget that I...
We are back. Mike is in his favorite position in the studio next to the food. And David and I are back. David Hubble is with us, the Merlotton man of Mobile. We're talking Merlotons today.
Yep.
Chiote squash, if you're uneducated. Uneducated in the South, anyway.
Or vegetable pears, if you're not familiar.
Yeah, I like that name, vegetable pear.
Yeah. Some people call them alligator pears, but that often gets described for avocados. So, usually vegetable pears, chiote, or Merlotton.
All right. Now, you brought some things you've made with various types of Merlotton. I'm going to show this to the people at home.
Sure.
Tell us what you got, David.
Okay, well, for demonstration purposes, I didn't have enough growing this spring, but one of our local grocery stores has chiote. And so I made a Merlotton andouille and shrimp dressing with Hall's andouille and seasoned with T. Roy's Swamp Shake, trying to keep it a local version of a Merlotton cat.
So I'm guessing that shrimp's not from a farm in Vietnam?
No, I bought it at our good friend's Rouse's.
There we go.
It's actually
there you go,
good
bosses.
Shrimp.
There, I'm paying off for you already.
And I use Rouse's French bread in there, too. So I try to keep it as much local. Now, if only I would have had my own Merlotton growing, we'd been all set. Even better.
I think we can let slide. So, Mike, you're in charge of the food. So
am I going to serve?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, and the other thing I brought was this Merlotton bread, which is basically a banana bread or zucchini bread. And
just with Merlotton.
Just with Merlotton.
So it's a quick bread. You don't have to let anything rise or anything like that. So there you go, Mike. Look at there. He's got skills. He's got skills.
Now, get on the
plate. Well, the main reason I wanted to talk to you is this white Merlotton.
Right.
Tell us the story on that one.
So as we talked a few minutes ago, there's different colors and varieties of the Merlotton. And what they had been growing in Opelousas, Louisiana, was a white variety. The one that you showed that I brought in is only probably about a third the size of this white Israel Thibodeau. Israel Thibodeau was a gentleman who grew these for about 40 years in Opelousas. Mm-hmm. He was an ice man at one time. He had several different jobs, but he was always a farmer, gardener. And his brother, about 1970, got him one of these white Merlotton.
Right.
And he started growing it, and he grew them for 43 years until he died in 2013. And so at that time, Lance Hill was able to get them and distribute them to many of the growers. He had an Adopt-a-Merlotton program in New Orleans. And so there's several different varieties, at least 8 or 9 that they've identified in the Louisiana area. And so what he ended up doing is a lot of people grew them and were pretty successful, but then 2016 we had a flood that devastated a lot of places, and also some of the freeze that caused an issue. Mm-hmm. And so what you ended up, one of the growers was John Foles. Mm-hmm. And so John really jumped on board, really. I mean, it's a unique, it's rare, and it's just just an interesting vegetable. Mm-hmm. And so what he ended up doing is he had them at White Oak Estates in gardens where we do the boucheries.
Right.
And they grew very well for 3 years or so until the flood of 2016. And so after that, he thought he'd pretty much lost it. And there was one guy in Lafayette who was growing it that I found scouring Facebook. And he was growing it. He had actually known Mr. Thibodeau.
Facebook's good.
Yeah. he knew Mr. Thibodeau. And he had visited, knew him. And so John was looking for him one day. I got a text one day after church, and I'm looking down. Hey, where can I get some white melaton? I don't even recognize the number. And I had to do a little searching, and I realized, oh, my gosh, Chef Foles. I didn't know he had my number. And so, so anyway, I ended up finding the guy. He had 5 or 6. He had Chef John had his gardener go over there and get 5 of them. And he planted 5 of them last year. Mm-hmm. And they were doing well until we had that early freeze in November. And then after that, he thought he had lost it all. And so earlier this, about a month or two ago, he asked me if found out that his vine actually had come back. He had a gardener cleaning up the area when you put them on trestles to grow to keep them off the ground, and he ended up finding that hey chef, there's a vine here you might want to look at. And so when he looked at it, he's like, oh my gosh, the melaton's come back. So they cleaned it up, salvaged it, and he got a spring crop of about 30 to 40 so far. And when he asked me about getting some more, I was like, I think you might have the only vine left, Chef. Come to find out, we had another guy in our group who had it. I'm helping melita.org now with them. And so between he and John got real interested in trying to salvage them and resurrect them. And so we came up with this project between melita.org and Chef John. And I'm kind of the contact person. And we've contacted 2 growers in the Carolinas trying to get some variety, and then we got another fellow in Houma growing it. I eventually want to get a couple here in Mobile, but if we can get these 5 growing, and like I said, if they get 40 or so this first year each,
right,
and then we give half of them away to people, we've got criteria that we want them to follow, measurements, data readings, weekly updates. If they have any problems, try and do everything we can to just keep it going. And then once we got another group that's willing to do that, we'll get it to them. And then from there, hopefully they'll have another generation. And hopefully in about 3 or 4 years, you know, if we're successful, well, the white melaton won't be as rare as it is now.
Well, my question for you now on the white melaton, how is it different, or what are the characteristics of it versus the green ones that we're used to?
I haven't actually tasted it, but as far as the size, it's about, like I said, the one I have is usually about 3/4 pound. This is about 1.5 pounds, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to, since I left my phone, I'll send you some pictures of Chef John. He's got them in his hand. I mean, full-size hand. And so they're big. They're ivory.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one I've got here, they don't have spikes, but they've got these furrows in them. Mm-hmm. And they're pear-shaped and a little bit flatter. And so they'll sprout out the bottom of this part here. There's a little embryo here. Mm-hmm. It'll sprout out, and it'll end up rooting out of there. And when that happens, you just put it in the dirt like that, cover it up about that much, which I know the radio can't hear you, but for what you're seeing. And it'll sprout out of the pots, and that's what we're doing right now. We're putting those in pots.
Mm.
And then in September, we'll get the growers to put them in the ground. Now, typically, you plant them in April and have a fall crop.
Oh, nice.
But the grower in Metairie, the second gentleman who's grown them, says that we should get a small fall crop. So if we get a fall and a spring crop, it'll hopefully accelerate the process.
Ah, outstanding. I think this is very interesting when we can bring back any old varietal of any plant, like I said, before scientists, and not that they were trying to create any monsters or anything, they were trying to feed people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're crossing different things to get stuff that's sustainable mm-hmm. on a shelf for a longer period of time. And there was nothing wrong with that, but we lost a lot of the interesting characteristics. And tomatoes are a prime example.
Right.
The tomatoes you buy at the grocery store are nothing like the potato. Tomatoes you grow at home,
mm-hmm.
and the tomatoes you grow at home, unless you're doing an heirloom, are nothing like the tomatoes that your grandparents grew at
right.
home.
Right.
And the further back you go in that chain, mm-hmm. the better the tomatoes get.
Yeah.
And that's same with most fruits and vegetables. But Mirlitons are not your only endeavor. What right. else have you got going with
Hubble's Hearth? I've got a little side cottage kitchen business called Hubble's Hearth, where I make some homemade jellies and jams and baked goods. So I've got things like blueberry jam, lemon jelly with Meyer's lemons, satsuma jelly, pepper jelly. Let's see what else I make. I made strawberry once or twice. I've got and then some baked goods. These I call them Louisiana tea cookies.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine in Vasher, Louisiana, he's got these tea cookies, but they're iced. And a lot of people in Alabama say, "Well, I've never had iced tea cookies," but these are just an almond flavored cookie with a light sugar glaze on it,
mm-hmm.
and they're very popular. And mm-hmm. then let's see what else. Like I said, I make these Melitol breads. Made ginger snaps.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that kind of seasonally. I prefer to use the local vegetables and fruits, or not vegetables, but mostly the fruits for all these things, because I kind of want to stick that way as best I can. So,
yeah, well, this casserole is phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
Real quick, what all did you go in? I know we got Hall sausage. I know we got Gulf shrimp.
Okay.
I'm assuming there's Mirliton because it's a Mirliton casserole.
Yeah.
I see some corn. Is this...
Actually, that's yellow bell pepper.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So it's you know, too bad Bill Finch isn't here, because I think he'd appreciate it. Has the it's got the Trinity in there,
mm-hmm.
and so for everybody to remember, it's got onions, bell peppers. In this case, we used yellow and orange bell pepper, celery, and garlic, and then cooked that down with some butter. Rendered the Hall's andouille into, cut it and diced it and mm-hmm. cooked it. And then to that, added shrimp, cooked all that together, and then added some seafood stock. And I boiled the Mirliton. You better boil them, cut them and boil them. Season that water with T-Roy's mm-hmm. swamp shake. And then after you scoop it out and you put the Mirliton pulp in there, kind of puree it a little bit, mm-hmm. stick it back in the casserole, and then I added some more T-Roy swamp shake to it to for the flavor, and I kind of let it build up and taste, you know, cook to taste, flavor to taste. And then added some Rouse's French bread to kind of absorb the liquid.
Right.
And then after that, just kind of cook it all down, adjust the seasonings. There's a little thyme in there, and this morning I just covered it with a little breadcrumbs and baked it. And it's tradition, you know, these casseroles would be more traditional in the fall time.
Right.
But I figured it didn't make too bad.
Because it's got a real breakfast. Thanksgiving vibe, too.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's somewhere between a bread pudding and just a mush.
Right.
And it's, but the breadcrumbs give it that crunch on top, and then the andouille from Hall's, which is just some of the best andouille there is.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, it's a wonderful little dish. And I, you know, this is true cooking. You know, mm-hmm. this isn't the fancy stuff that we do. This is you're feeding a family,
right?
And it tastes good, and it's filling, and you know, it doesn't look pretty on Instagram,
right? Yeah,
it looks pretty going down my throat.
Well, like,
theoretically,
Chef Brightson always says in New Orleans, brown is the color of flavor. So
there you go.
Yeah.
All right, folks, one more segment coming up. 343-0106. If you want to get in on the conversation.
Yeah. As a homeowner and your neighbor, I want to tell you about my friends at Air Specialty. When you turn to the experts at Air Specialty, you can rest assured you're getting the best quality service in the Mobile area. Air Specialty is a Carrier factory authorized dealer that's committed to your comfort and safety. Ask us about the indoor air quality products that can kill most viruses, bacteria, and allergens, providing you peace of mind that the air you're breathing is clean and healthy. Air Specialty and Carrier can do it all. Visit air-specialty.com.
Air Specialty.
License number 84408.
Hey, if you like to fish and love the chance to win cash and prizes, you can't miss this year's 87th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Tickets are on sale now at ADSFR.com. Dates are set July 17th through the 19th. Be a part of the largest fishing tournament in the world with over $400,000 in cash and prizes. Every angler in the open competition who weighs in illegal fish from any of the 30 categories will be entered to win a 25-foot contender with a Yamaha 250 and a Sport Trail trailer. Get your tickets now at ADSFR.com. And remember the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament on July 11th. In addition to the ADSFR open competition, anglers can enter jackpots for big game, king mackerel, and speckled trout. And new this year is a drawing for all participants who weigh in a fish in any jackpot. Win a brand new Sea Keeper 1. Cash prize divisions include billfish, tuna, dolphin, swordfish, wahoo, king mackerel, speckled trout, and tarpon. It's the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo July 17th through 19th. For tickets and more information, visit ADSFR.com.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep, and you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-266-1432. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-266-1432. That's 1-800-266-1432. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-266-1432.
Regardless of the virus, every one of us will be impacted by today's new economy. I'm Cam Marston, host of What's Working. On Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m., we'll begin special edition shows helping small businesses react to these times. I'll have guests with a deep expertise, and I'll push them to offer actionable ideas for you and me. And we'll take your calls. Join me Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. here on FM Talk 106.5.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
We're not on the air yet? There we are. I can hear us.
Mike, what you think about Mirlitol now?
Man, I love that. That'd be great. You know, it's great anytime, but I'm thinking the holiday season.
I'm thinking it's good for breakfast.
Yeah, that too, man. Yeah. Shrimps is this up in there?
Scrimps and whole sausage.
There you go. Wonder if I could put a little fried egg on top.
And some grilled pineapple and some crunchy peanut butter?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, and then top it with some of that Mirlitol bread?
That'd be great, too.
What'd you think of the bread?
The bread's delicious. I like it.
Leanna is experiencing the full chip and sip and chew effect for the first time since she's taken over producing, getting to come to work and have people bring food to her.
She's got it all over her face and her blouse and crumbs everywhere.
I'm a mess.
All over her desk.
It's so good.
Well, you know, was doing the cookout this weekend. So I didn't want to cook Friday night. So I messaged Heather before I was getting ready from work. Go to Ed's menu, see if there's anything that strikes your fancy. And a little while later, she messaged me back. She goes, honestly, just a whole bunch of sautéed crab claws. So I stopped by, and I got the Mobtown hot catfish, which is over the bed of cheese grits with some greens. And I stopped by to pick that up. And they were booming. They were
good.
They were doing good business. Lots of crowds. We picked up some food from a few other places. And last Sunday, we did go to the Cheese Cottage. She has been jonesing for some cheese cottage. And, and the crowds are different now than naturally before all of this. I notice every restaurant I go into, whether I'm picking up or we're dining in or what have you, that the employees are just as nice as they can be right now. They're thankful. They're glad to see everyone. But the customers aren't necessarily being as nice. You know, the ones that go out that are good people and they tip really well and all that, they're a pleasure to be with and they understand the circumstances. But the majority of people I'm seeing dining out are just rude and they're not tipping normally, much less the exaggerating tipping that honestly is required in a situation like this. I mean, you have to remember that server is risking her life or his life to feed your family.
Right.
And they're risking their life. You have to understand that in the restaurant industry, us wearing a mask is not to protect the customer. I say us, I'm not in the restaurant. It's to protect us from the customer.
Right.
Pretty much everyone in the kitchen work, they see whoever they live with and the people in that kitchen every day, and that's it. That's all. They're not exposed to coronavirus for the most part until a customer brings it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they wear the mask, and of course they do help protect the customer as well. But the ultimate goal is to keep the workers safe.
Right.
Because they're risking their life to feed you. You're not risking your life to go out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a risk, that's a real low risk-reward ratio there.
Right.
That's like saying, man, I'm going to jump over that rock because I think it'd be cool to see what's on the other side of it. Well, the other side of it's the Grand Canyon. Yeah. But I want to jump over the rock to see it from that angle. Well, you realize you're going to plummet to your death, right? That's a low risk-reward ratio there.
Somebody did that yesterday, as a matter of fact.
In the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, they fell from the top.
Wow. I have not seen the news. I would have not have used that example.
I don't know if it happened yesterday or Friday.
Yeah. But so when you go out to eat, and the governor says no parties above 8, so stop showing up with 15 people.
Right.
Because it does a number of things. One, they're not supposed to put more than 8 people at a table. So now you got 15 people, you got 8 here, and you got 8 sitting on the other side of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Because you didn't call ahead, so why should they make any effort whatsoever to sit your party together?
Right.
You know, you got to call ahead.
I mean, you should call anyway when you got a party coming.
Yeah. And to give them, it will enhance your experience.
Exactly.
That's why they want you to call. They're going to handle it. They're going to take care of you. But they can do a better job of it if you just give them a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. And there's no excuse to not ever call because everybody has a cell phone now.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
Except David. He left his at home.
Yeah. And it will go, you sit in a line at a fast food place. You know, and you're in the line for a while because everyone's doing that, and you understand it.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for when you finally get to the drive-thru window and them to go, hey, welcome to blah, blah, blah. What can I get for you? Let me look at the menu a moment. No, you should have your order ready by the time you get there because their menus are online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when this is over, you can go back to taking your time, but right now you've got entire moms and dads that are stopping after a 10-hour day because they're still working. You know, 40% of the state's not working and getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
The other 60% is working and not making as much as the one not working.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones working have the priority.
Mm-hmm.
If you're collecting unemployment, go to the back of the line every time. Let the people who are working go first. That rudeness out there right now is the only thing that is wrong with the restaurant scene as far as they're dealing with this. They should not have to be dealing with rude people.
Yeah.
If you are a picky eater, stay home. Save your money, stay home. And how about this? Cook for yourself for a change.
There, do that.
Yeah.
I made that recommendation to somebody yesterday.
Mike gave that advice to someone who didn't think they should have to tip on a to-go. And just being a Karen, a classic Facebook Karen,
mm-hmm.
They got the I need to see the manager haircut and everything, I'm sure.
Don't be a Karen. Don't be a Karen.
Yeah.
But and we're not picking on Karens, but who we're talking about.
A Karen.
A yeah. Karen. Don't be a Karen. But yeah, the tipping thing.
Yeah.
Folks, these servers need it more than ever. And because some of them came back. That means they came back to work.
Mm-hmm.
and did away with their that unemployment, that real nice cushion of money.
Mm-hmm.
They did away with that, and there's no business right now. There's still not that much business.
Right,
some places are, some places aren't.
They're only making, they're making the bulk of their money off to-goes. Mm. And normally I'm one that would tell you, well, should I tip the to-go person when I go pick some up? Do you tip the person at McDonald's when they give you a burger?
You're tipping the whole server staff.
Right, yeah. They're divvying that up because the income is not there. They're working their butts off. They're risking their lives to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing they should have to deal with is a rude customer or a bad tipper. And I don't care if the service, if you have an issue with the service, you have an issue with the food, ask to speak with the manager. But don't take it out on the server, because no one has ever had a bad experience. Didn't tip because they thought they were justified. They didn't do it because they were cheap and their experience was fine. You were just lying because you're cheap.
Yeah.
That's the way I always look at it.
Yeah.
If there's genuinely a problem, you'll talk to the manager.
Yeah.
If you don't want to talk to the manager, you're just a thief.
That's always been my advice.
Yep.
Just talk to the manager.
Especially if it is an issue with money, they're probably going to give you half off.
Don't get in a bickering match with the server.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yep.
And you'll probably have a lot more better experience when it's over with. So it looks like Leanne's telling us it's time to go.
Aw.
She's got her mouth full.
All right. Yep. 30 seconds. David's going to hop over here with me and get in on the provolone for sure.
All right, folks. Get out there, support local, be local more than ever. And servers, earn your tips. Be patient with your customers, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
But hey, what do we say?
We say provolone
and merloton.
And merloton.
And merloton.
Oh, that's quite a buffet there.
All right, watch us have a bunch of dead air now.
Folks, go on YouTube, look up Home Free, Born in the USA with Lee Greenwood joining them, and a bunch of singers from the armed forces. It is just amazing.
Awesome.
Check that out.
Awesome.
Chicken, ice cream, fish. I like ice cream. What's this? This is juice. This is juice. Uh-oh.